Hi, I'm Mark Chavez. I'm one of the hosts of Let's Make a comedy docuseries podcast about the creative process. Each season, my co-hosts, Ryan Beal, Maddie Kelly, and I take on an artistic challenge and you follow our journey. In Let's Make a Sci-Fi, we wrote a science fiction TV pilot. In Let's Make a Rom-Com, we wrote a romantic comedy film. And on our latest season, Let's Make a Horror, we produced a horror short film. And when we run into trouble, we interview Hollywood experts. People who have worked on big things like The Blair Witch Project, The Office, Star Wars, Mamma Mia, and more. All three seasons of Let's Make a are available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hello and welcome to Laugh Out Loud. I'm your host, Ali Hassan. We've got a tight schedule with lots of comedy to get to, so let's dive right on in. This first comedian is based in Vancouver, from where he zigzags the country doing the thing he loves doing most, telling jokes. And audiences love him right back. You know what? So do I. From the stage in Kelowna, here is Sunny Dhaliwal.
How you guys doing? All right, great to be here. I'm on tour right now, and touring is very fun for me because I get to pick where to go on my tours. That's a big step in a comedian's career. Did you know when we first start touring, we don't get to pick where we get to go? Nobody told me this. Like, I'm a big rap fan, and Jay-Z gets to pick where he gets to go on tour. And me and Jay-Z, same level, right? To the old white guy, Jay-Z is a rapper. My first joke, I want everybody on the same page. You probably call him JZ. So 13 years ago, I got the phone call to do my first ever tour. I was excited. They're like, Sonny, can you tour for us? I said, yep. Let's go to Toronto. Let's go to LA. We got to go to New York. I mean, not in that order. It's a waste of gas. I get it. My agent's like, no, we're sending you places. I'm like, where am I going? I swear to you, my first ever tour. She said, you're going to go to Prince George. Williams Lake, and Castlegar. I said, what is this, the Broken Dreams tour? I don't want to do this. You know, touring sounds so grand. I think my first tour is made up of northern Canadian towns that I never even heard of. She could have basically said to me, you're going to go to Caucasianville? No Browns Allowed Town. And Slave Lake. Smart crowd. For the people not laughing, Slave Lake, that's a real one. I've been there too. I swear, on my first tour, I got to Williams Lake. I didn't even touch the mic yet. People started bidding on me. They're like, $200. I'm like, no. Wrong show. That's tomorrow. The worst place I've ever been to is a town called Whitehorse. I don't know if you've been to Whitehorse before, but the reason why Whitehorse was so terrible for me was because the hotel that they set me up at was the worst hotel I've ever been to in my life. It was attached to a cold beer and wine store, and that's where we had to check in. Think about that for a second. You know how weird it is to take your suitcase into a cold beer and wine store, walk up to a cashier, and be like, hi, Sonny Dhaliwal, checking in to rehab, I guess? I don't know what I mean. A lot of alcohol behind you and I'm thirsty. I check in and she gives me a key, but not a normal card key like a normal hotel. The hotel was so old, she gave me an actual key. And not one, she gave me seven. I'm like, am I going to a dungeon? Are you a janitor? Why are there so many keys? She explains to me, it's for all the doors I have to go through in order to get to my hotel room. So she's like, the first key, go out of this cold beer and wine store into the lobby of the hotel, then to the stairs, another key, another door, up the stairs to the hallway, another key, another door, then your hotel room, another key, another door. I said, oh, it's for safety. And she looks at me and she goes, oh no, you're not safe here. That's what she said to me. I get into this hotel, and I go to the washroom right away, and I knew it was going to be a bad place instantly, because in the washroom, there was one bar of soap, and it was from another hotel. I'm like, really, this is where I'm at? Okay. I walk out of the washroom, And there's two beds there. And I sit on the first bed. I'll tell you why in a bit. Sit on the first bed, grab the remote, and I turn the TV on, and then I lean back on the headboard. What I didn't realize is the bed had wheels on the bottom. Okay, good, smart, way ahead of me, like it. So you know what happened, right? I lean back on the headboard, and the bed goes shooting across the room to the TV. And I was like, how is this possible? I turn around, I touch the headboard, it's painted onto the wall, it's not real. It didn't exist. And the reason why I sat on this bed and not that bed is because that bed had a huge stain on it. Yeah, that I didn't make yet. So during the show, I've never done this before, but I was flirting with the girls in the front row. After the show, we shut it down, had a big after party. And so all the girls were like, you got to come up to my hotel room. Come up with me. And it wasn't because I wanted to sleep with any of the women there. I didn't. I didn't want to lay on top of them so I didn't have to touch the sheets at night. I was like, the bigger the better. Bring your avatar ass to room 223. Because it is gross. Up there. And the show was sold out. It was 500 people. And I knew it was going to be a big deal because when I turned on the TV initially, it went to the guide channel, like the TV listing channel, and it had my name on it as like an ad for the show. But it didn't say Sunny Dollywell, Vancouver. It just said Brown Guy, Big City. That's all it said. And I get there, and I'm nervous, right? Because I've never been to Whitehorse before. I don't know if Whitehorse people are going to get my jokes. White is half the name. I'm not welcome. I talk about being East Indian in the beginning of my shows when I do Northern Canada, so they know what this is. I don't even know if Whitehorse people, there's East Indian people in Whitehorse. So the first thing I do is I grab the mic and go, any East Indian people here? Any brown people in here? 500 people, all in unison, went, yeah, we got one. Look, he's right there. He's in the back. I'm going to go, what's his name? In unison. His name is Brownie. I'm like, this is the most racist place. But I'm outnumbered. So I'm like, can Brownie come to the front of the stage, please? Because if anything goes down, I want Brownie by my side. And just like tonight, the lights are hitting me in my face. I can only see the front row clearly. The rest of you are like silhouettes. And then behind the third row, I can't see you at all. You're covered in darkness. He's in the back, can't see him at all. He walks to the front of the stage. I finally see his face. He's not even East Indian, he's Mexican. He had a mustache and everything. Read a book, White Horse. The last show I did before the pandemic was in a town called Jasper. Now, I don't know if you've been to Jasper before, but if you haven't, let me explain to you what Jasper is. Jasper is the whitest place on the planet. And just to let you know what I mean by white, it is the only place on this earth where we can overhear multiple conversations about how good the butter chicken at Earl's is. Not one, but three separate groups of people told me to try the butter chicken at Earl's. I thought this was hilarious. So I get on stage, 200 people, I say the exact same thing that I just said to you. But instead of laughing, like you all did, 200 people looked at me like, bro, have you tried the butter chicken at Earl's? I think this has been funnier. So I start making fun of them. I judge an entire group of people by the actions of a few, something I've never done before. So when I make fun of them collectively, they get upset and defensive about Earl's, I guess, and they start heckling me. Some guy over here is like, you should try it, it's authentic. Well, I don't think that's possible. When the guy who made its name is Chad, some guy over here is like, it's spicy, you can taste the tomatoes. My ketchup is not a hot sauce, sir. When I shut these people down individually, some lady in the second row had enough. She literally gets up out of her seat and goes, what? You don't like Indian food? I'm like, hey, lady, we just call it food. If I told my mom to make me Indian food, She'd smoke a salmon. Wow, smart crowd. All I'm saying is she's not going to make me non. She's going to make me Bannock. Yeah. First Nations bread is delicious. Try it. I don't want to lie to you guys. It's not all good places that I go to, you know, like White Horse and Jasper. There's some terrible places, too. The last two shows I've done was in Dawson Creek and Grand Prairie. Yeah. Didn't even know Dawson Creek was a real place. Thought it was a TV show. Had no idea. My agent calls me up. He says, you're doing these shows. And I'm like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to sign up for this. No. And then he says, if you do these shows, you get to fly in a private plane. And I said, yes, I will do these shows. Right? Cross that off my bucket list. That day is the day I realized there's a huge difference between private plane and a plane that you're the only ones on. It was not private. Private plane, you're thinking red carpet, champagne, limos. I got there, they're like, can you put your stuff in the back? I'm like, I don't work here, man. No one just goes to those routes by flying. So there was no, it was just an empty plane. And I get, and by the way, the show is great. The show's fine, because I'm speaking. But after, in Grand Prairie specifically, we went out to this bar, and we're in the patio. And the patio area is not an actual patio. It's just the parking lot where they put tables and chairs on, and then they roped it off. So it's just a one level. And I'm with my friend Chris. I really like Chris. Chris is on the show. Chris, I like him because he's funny, and he's my friend. But also, he's 5 foot even. I'm 6'5". So together, it's like a buddy cop situation. It's like Kevin Hart and The Rock. And I've never been The Rock in any situation in my life before. So I love hanging out with him. I noticed something about Chris. When he drinks, he gets really aggressive. I don't. I've never been aggressive. I'm not gonna get aggressive. I have a weak upper body. I've never been in a fight in my life. You know, and I thought about it too. I'm like, why am I not tougher? And I think my childhood has a lot to do with it because I never took karate lessons or watched kung fu movies. The only thing vividly I can remember about my childhood is watching Michael Jackson music videos. So to this day, if someone messes with me, I go. And then I moonwalk out of there. For the people listening on the radio, I just did something funny. My superpower is to get out of conflict. That's my thing. I'm really good at it. So we're out, we're having a good time. There's this long table, and Chris and I are talking, and I put my drink down on this long table, and sitting there is this meathead. And you know what I mean by meathead, right? Like just big for no reason. Like he's not a security guard or a cop or a firefighter. He works at TELUS, but he's huge. And also, there's nothing up here for this guy. He's a bad person. Right, like he spits when he talks. He's rude to the service staff. He always talks about hitting the gym. Jim, I assume, is his girlfriend. Yeah, bad guy. I'm painting the picture for you. Sitting right there. I put my drink down, start talking to Chris. This guy decides to get up by pushing himself off the table, shaking the table, spilling my drink. Chris goes, "Hey yo, that's my boy's drink." Chris is white. I need everybody to know that right away. But he's been drinking, so he sounds like that. This guy looks at me, looks at Chris, and I snap into action. I use my superpower, right? Avoid conflict. I go, hey, don't worry about it. I'll just get another drink. They're made right there. He stands up. He's my height, but obviously he works out. And he goes, get another drink, because I didn't do that. And I'm like, sir, you have cocaine here, here, and here. And he goes, I do not do cocaine. I'm like, no one's saying you do. But if you need some, there's some here, here, and here. Trying to help you out. It looks expensive. Instead of thanking me, this makes him more upset. And he gets in my face. We're almost nose to nose. I almost did cocaine for the first time in my life. Just plug my nose breathing out of my mouth. And he goes, get another drink, because I didn't do that. And now, I don't know why I did this. It's the most aggressive thing I've ever done in my life. But I was having a bad day because I was taking to Grand Prairie on false pretenses. He's in front of me and he's holding on to his drink. And what I did was I just took a step back and I slapped the drink out of his hands and it goes over the rope into the parking lot, shatters. And I go, yeah? Well, I didn't just do that. Right? I thought it was so funny. He did not. Right then, his four friends that were sitting at the end of the table that I didn't see get up and join him. They're all my height, all his build. I'm like, does Grand Prairie have a CFL team that I'm not aware of? Before I can do anything, before I can even say anything, Chris gets in front of me and just goes, I will kill all of you. None of them break eye contact with me. They don't even know Chris is in front of me right now. He's yelling this in their belly buttons. I will kill all of you. I'm like, that's it. I'm going to get into my first fight and my first concussion ever. And right then, you just hear sirens. You hear, wail, wail, wail. They look at each other and they take off. They don't even go out the front door. They just jump over the little rope in their car. I see them leave the parking lot. I look down. Chris has his shirt off. He's making the siren noise with his mouth. It's like somebody call an ambulance. Wail, wail, wail. Hey, you guys have been great. I'm Sonny Dhaliwal. Thank you.
That is Sonny Dhaliwal. You can find him on Instagram at Sonny D Comedy. One quick announcement today. Tickets for our show in Charlottetown, PEI on April 17th are moving very quickly. That is not hyperbole. This show is over halfway to being sold out before the month of April even started. It's going to be an amazing night with some of the finest island comedians, including Catherine Cairns, Sean Hogan, Patrick Ledwell, and many more. Head to cbc.ca/laughoutloud to reserve your seats now.
Hello, I'm Jess Milton. For 15 years, I produced The Vinyl Cafe with the late, great Stuart McLean. Every week, more than 2 million people tuned in to hear funny, fictional, feel-good stories about Dave and his family. We're excited to welcome you back to the warm and welcoming world of The Vinyl Cafe with our new podcast, Backstage at The Vinyl Cafe. Each week, we'll share two hilarious stories by Stuart, and for the first time ever, I'll tell you what it was like behind the scenes. Subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back to our show. If you're a regular listener, you've heard this comedian before, but it has been a while. He's been busy making comedy videos, which, by the way, have been raking in over 350 million views across the internet. He's an award-winning filmmaker, comedian, and musician. It's Onesti Danelis.
Do you guys feel that? There's, like, really good energy in the air right now. Trust me, I know a lot about energy because I recently got into astrology. Yeah, but I only listen to it if it tells me what I want to hear, you know? Like, I'm that kind of person. Like, if I open up my horoscope and it says, there's going to be conflict and misunderstanding and work in relationships, I'm like, ew, no thanks, this is a lie. But if I open up my horoscope and it says, there will be abundance of romance and wealth, I'm like, oh my God, what? Me? So yeah, I got really sucked into astrology. I also really got into healing crystals, meth. Have you guys had? They're so addictive. But I only take them for abundance and to get high. You know what's not a good time? Dating. Dating is weird. I always have a weird time dating, especially as a bisexual person. Like, I feel like I'm unlearning gender norms every single day. Like, if I'm on a date with a guy, who pays? Who pays? The answer is no one. In this economy, we run. But yeah, I recently got off all the dating apps out of respect to my partner. Yeah. And honestly, I don't miss it because, like, I don't know, I feel like a fake person when I'm dating. I feel like this people pleaser in me just, like, jumps out and I start doing weird things. Like, I nod a lot to show I'm listening. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I'll cycle through my five phrases. What? Really? No way. Mm-hmm. Wow. You gotta switch it up, because after the third, that's crazy. They start to get suspicious. Yeah, and I become, like, super agreeable. I'll be like, oh my God, I love that movie too. And then I'll run to the bathroom and be like, what is Lord of the Rings? And then come back like I know some new information. Like, did you know it started off as a book? You know? Bet you didn't know that. See, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I feel like I'm a fake when I'm dating. I feel like I lie. Maybe some of you feel the same way, but here's a song about that. I have to intro the song, don't laugh. We got together, a match in fall weather, sharing the season with someone new. I let my walls down and I let you in, but you ran away when you saw me in my real skin. I don't know what it is, but every time I'm honest in relationships and I open up, people always leave. How come my relationships end when I tell them that I've catfished them? It's just a simple fake identity that I use to make you fall in love with me. I don't know what the big deal is. I'm still an Esty Danelis under Ronald McTailpipe, 31, engineer from Serbia. I find it hypocritical. We're all hiding under our own masks. My mask just happens to be an entire fake existence of a 31-year-old engineer from Serbia. It always happens at the 7th month mark when I suddenly drop my fake accent and they go, "What?" And I go, "I've got something to tell you." They get defensive at my vulnerability and say, "I'm gonna go stay with my friends because I don't know who you are right now." They call their friends, but my phone rings and I say, "I've got something else to tell you." How come my relationships end when I tell them that I also stole their friends' identities too? They're also stunned when they find out that my parents they met were just me in different hats. And then they yell, "Well, who even are you?" And I say, "Wait, how about I show you?" So I take off my wig and my colored contacts. I wipe my makeup off and my spray-on tans. Then I remove my second wig, and I also remove my mini armpit wigs. I also rip off my clay nose. Then I remove my fake teeth and my prosthetic bodysuit. I also rip off my silicone penis. And I say, "Do you accept me for who I am? A Mrs. Doubtfire-esque Mediterranean. 'Cause I'm just a boy standing in front of a girl, surrounded by a bunch of fake body parts and accessories used to lie to you, asking for you to trust me. But they always leave, and I'm alone again. So I pick myself up with the force that I use to push my penis back up inside my body. And I push myself back into Ronald McTailpipe again. 'Cause love's less scary when you hide behind a 31-year-old engineer who moved here from Serbia, who now drives a taxi at nighttime to fund his dreams of one day opening up the world's first reverse strip club where the strippers are fully clothed and the audience strips. Thank you. You know, any place can be a reverse strip club if you just take off your clothes. Front row? No. This year I was, how you say, dumped. Yeah, and getting rejected sucks. Like, it's never easy, it's always hard. But there's like a special kind of rejection that happens when you're dumped by somebody who has no life. I was like, "Are you sure? What are you gonna do with your time?" I was more concerned than anything. But the main reason why he dumped me was because I'm bisexual, and he thought that I would one day leave him for a woman. So I banged his mom. But it's okay, I'm in a relationship right now, it's going great. Anybody here, just by a round of applause and woos or whatever you want to do, who here is in a relationship? I just wanted to bring the mood up and just let everybody know that there are cheaters everywhere. So if you're in a relationship right now and you're wondering if your partner is cheating on you, I made a song to figure out how to spot that. Listen up now. Listen up good. Or if you're really into grammar, listen up well. It's about your partners. Here's how to know if they are cheating on you. The signs are everywhere, guys. Can you spot them? You think your partner's perfect, that's not true, that they'd never cheat on you. You should be suspicious, trust is fictitious, I couldn't find a third word that rhymes. They're getting distant, clues everywhere, starting to text like they don't care. You know they are losing infatuation when sexting begins to have proper punctuation. Nothing signifies the end of a flame like the use of a semicolon. Here's what else to look out for. If they have a phone, they're cheating. Who do they need to talk to? You're right there. And if they go to work, they're cheating. Why are they putting in work in something that's not your relationship? That's weird. And if they go poo, they're cheating. That's them trying to hide the evidence of their dinner date last night. Caught you. And if they wear a seatbelt, definitely cheating. Who are you trying to stay alive for? That's suspicious. These are the signs your partner is cheating on you. I noticed everybody in the audience was nodding their heads yes. Well, I hate to break it to you, but you're all being cheated on. I want you to do me a favor right now. No matter where you're sitting, no matter where you're watching from, I want you to turn to your partners and ask them if they're cheating on you. Just see how they react. Look into their eyes. The answer's hidden in their eyes. If they look away, they're guilty because they're cheating. But if they look at you, they're also cheating but okay with it. And if they blink, they're cheating but have dry eyes from all of the crying because of how guilty they are. And if they don't blink, but they're in a coma, they put themselves there because they don't know how to lie to you. Comas are red flags. Break up with them. Technically, these are all allegations, and maybe we're just overreacting. Maybe you should just have an open conversation and let your partners know how you feel, right? Or you could not say anything and just spiral. Bottle it inside and just spiral. Follow them wherever they go and ambush them like, hey babe, who's this you're having lunch with? Oh, this is your mom. Oh, this is your mom. Yeah, this is your mom. Yeah, why don't we go take a DNA test, you frickin' liars? Or you can stalk their Instagram and check everyone that they follow. Hey, babe, I noticed you followed Kim Kardashian last night. What do you mean so? How long have you two been banging? Don't worry, it's not intense to confront somebody without any evidence. The less you have, the better. Because they'll still call you crazy. But statistically, one of your allegations will be right. Or maybe you should just let it go. It's better to never ever bring it up because they'll never admit to cheating on you. So just be the bigger person for your mental health and cheat on them too. Cheat on them. Safe cheating. Good night.
That is Anesty Denelis, and you can hear more of him at anestydenelis.com. And that's our show. My thanks today to the Okanagan Comedy Festival, the Winnipeg Comedy Festival, recording engineers Corey Haberstock, Brian Harder, and Laura Antonelli. And a special thanks also to my producer, Lee Pitts. And thank you for listening to Laugh Out Loud. I'm Ali Hassan, and I'll see you back here real soon. For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.